You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. There are times during this movie that the title was dead on for me because I caught myself holding my breath. But that's mainly because, you know, anytime Stephen Lang's in the room, you're just like, don't breathe. Maybe he won't notice me.
He is a breathtaking man. He's a breathtaking slab of manhood.
Yeah, maybe you don't want to look at him. I don't want to ever see him again in night vision, though. That's for goddamn sure. Or whatever that was. They had, like, grayscale vision.
Yeah. I would prefer to see most people not in night vision.
So. Yeah, no, in general, it does not make people.
But Stephen Lang definitely ups the ante.
The story here, Betty Alvarez's Don't Breathe, which Betty Alvarez, the guy who made the reboot.
Wait, before you say this, I will say this. You should just go see the movie knowing nothing. But we are going to go ahead and give the basic premise, because that's what we have to do to review it. But
true.
If you know nothing, you will probably enjoy this movie even more.
I agree.
Just a thing.
But Fede Alvarez, who made the Evil Dead remake with Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert, which, you know, was polarizing. I personally really like it.
I personally did not like it.
Fair enough. See, there polarizing.
Yes. The room gets heated.
He said, basically, a lot of people were like, well, it's just too gory. It's not scary enough. And he said, okay, fine. I'm going to make a fucking suspense movie with almost no gore, which is what Don't Breathe is, which is, once again, Ghost House Productions, Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert coming in to help him produce. And he brought along with the way his main actress from Evil Dead, Jane Levy, who's kind of turning into like an indie star right now.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah, moving.
She's one of the high points
fast.
Of the movie.
Dylan Minnette and Daniel Zovato play three juvenile delinquents who, for reasons of their own, have teamed up and work through a sort of a connection guy who works at a security company to give them security codes to various houses so they can go in, rob the place, and then do a thing to make it look like it was a standard break-in. You know, they set it up where it's like, okay, well, they're not so bad.
Well, they give them motivation because they live in sort of a depressed part of Detroit. And
yeah. Well, it's Detroit. So
yes. And they want to get out badly. And this is sort of, they feel like their only way out.
Yeah. And, you know, you actually see in just enough of their lives to go, Jesus Christ, I think I'd rob
places.
That's
probably what I would do as well. Yeah.
That bad off. But so they get turned on to this one place where they're like, oh, this old vet, army vet lives there. He inherited, well, he got all this money, like a ton of cash, when his daughter was killed by a drunk driver, and he never did anything with it. He just lives in this burnout part of Detroit that everyone else has abandoned. He's like the only house left there. So literally, you just got to go in there at night. I mean, he's like an old guy. It shouldn't be any problem getting their cash. The guy who's sort of like the audience avatar at first, Dylan Minnette, is like, yeah, I don't like the sound of this. There's a lot of stuff here that's not our normal, you know.
He's the voice of reason.
Our way of doing things. But everybody else basically talks him into it because, like, come on, this is we got to get out of here. And this is the biggest
score.
It
seems
like
the easiest thing, too.
Yeah. And they're saying this amount of money is over anything we've ever taken, which makes it a much bigger federal crime.
And as usual, they have the rule to not do this.
Yes.
To not take cash ever.
Yes. They always take stuff they can sell, but not cash. So anyway, they, of course, get all talked into it, and they go into the place, and it looks like, other than having no luck finding where the fucking cash is, they're like, okay, well, this place is a shithole. What do we do? But dude in question, who's Stephen Lang, which should be right off the bat, like, oh, shit, wakes up, and they're like, oh, fuck, this dude is blind.
Yeah.
This is going to be even easier than we thought. And because he's a pretty competent and savvy old
He's, of course, an ex-Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Who is not real happy to find other people in his house in the middle of the night.
Yes. And immediately disarms. And once again, if you don't want any spoilers.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, this is like.
This is in the trailer.
Minor spoiler,
the trailer
but it's
does
in the
give
trailer.
This away. The trailer
like,
gives this away.
Yeah, immediately wrestles away a gun from one of the kids. You know, the really bad kid.
And things proceed to go incredibly south.
Yeah, blows his head off. And so you get the two kids left who are literally, a lot of the time, this guy's wandering the house with guns. He can't see anything, so they are indeed not breathing, trying to keep from being seen. But then that's just the tip of this iceberg. Because the moment he realizes there were people in his house, he goes and starts nailing up things over the windows and putting padlocks on doors. And they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, they can't just get out easily.
Yeah.
But I think that speaks to the strength of the film is not only is the is it it's a literal contraption.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun house. It's a roller coaster ride.
But not the, but not like, you know, the what the hell is the name of that movie by the guy who did the Saw movies? You know what I'm talking about? He did two of them. Where his one, the second one where they go to his house, it literally is a fun house, pretty much, like a murder house. This is just a normal guy's house, more or less.
James Wan movie?
No, no.
Collector?
The Collector, thank you. Or the sequel, The Collection.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like that, but it's like, I mean, it's just an old labyrinthine place with like a, you know, a basement that has like...
Well, it's a puzzle. How are they going to get out? Are they going to get out? How are they going to get out? How are they going to get past this rather formidable opponent? And
what secrets are downstairs?
Yes, and that there's...
Why does he keep it padlocked?
Things keep getting more and more ugly and treacherous as the movie gets goes on. I was pretty impressed because I think, you know, the locked room, fight your way out movie has been kind of a big thing this year. I feel like 10 Cloverfield Lane, The Green Room. Yeah. So a lot, it's definitely on everybody's mind. And this one fits right in there with those. It's a really, really well-made movie.
Yeah, it's another, you know, it's you're fighting your way out through your wits, mm-hmm. which these guys are basically doing just that.
And they're not particularly clever people.
No, they're just kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. But but they have the advantage of the guy, which is weird. Like Fede Alvarez talking about, it's like every other horror movie, you know, antagonist is always human, but then with some sort of plus mm-hmm. added on, some sort of extra ability he has. We thought, what if we took a guy who was really competent, but very human, and then took something away from him and then made it where they had to deal with this as their one chance because he has this one chink in his armor that he can't see.
Right, which turns out to also be an advantage in a few situations that the protagonists do not have. So,
yes.
I was impressed with the trailer. Again, I was not a big fan of the Evil Dead remake. I thought like it just didn't click for me. Maybe I'm just too in love with the old ones to like anything that's going to be a remake. But it was obvious the guy had talent. He had ideas. He's a really strong director with visuals. He's good with actors. But the movie didn't click for me. It didn't work. But this one, just from the get-go, it's a very, very strongly directed movie.
Yeah, it wastes very little time getting super tense either.
Yeah, it's a great setup, and it doesn't take a lot. It's not boring in its setup, which a lot of movies are. Like, okay, let's get to whatever's going to make this movie work. But they set it up quickly. There's a lot of important information they introduce that you're aware of, and that pays off in a pretty cool way. So,
and you know, not only do you have this guy who looks at it, is so creepy, and when there's a you know, all the lights are out sequence, instead of using night vision, which wouldn't have made any sense because nobody had a night vision lens, they use this weird sort of grayscale effect.
Yeah,
you know, where everybody is sort of grayed out.
I'm speculating here. I think it may have been some other kind of night vision.
Yeah, it may have been
because it really does feel like they're fumbling in the dark. And if they, however they did it, you can tell like they are. It's supposed to be pitch black. And they have to find their way out. And it was,
when
was
you see
tense.
Stephen Lang with his weird milky eyes and that effect, it is like immediately you're like, whoa, that guy's a monster.
Lang is great. You know, someone who's been around forever and I guess really just kind of rose to the top with his showy part in Avatar.
Yeah.
And
overly showy, I would say.
Yeah. well, we're not going to go down the Avatar road. But he's great. As I think actually everybody in the movie is pretty great.
Yeah.
I think...
At worst, Daniel Zavato, who is the kid first out...
You don't really like him to begin with.
Yeah, he's like kind of generic bad boy gangbanger kid. And you're like, okay, this guy's not very interesting.
But, yeah, he's not. But there is a little bit more going on with him. I think... He proves to have a few more shades, which I think is to the movie's strength. It really does, especially considering it's mostly kind of set in this one particular scenario. A lot of stuff is explored, and the movie does go somewhere pretty interesting. It does have some twists in store.
It's not as simple as we make it sound.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, there is some stuff going on. I think that. Speaking of divisive, is definitely the guy who did all the icky stuff in Evil Dead making this movie. Because when twists are revealed, I was a little bit grossed out. I don't want to go into detail. Yeah, but I agree with you.
I think that the twist in question, which will be coming, will be that sort where maybe, and you said this originally, that maybe more general audiences who just want to go see a good time jumping horror film are going, that's going to be where the, okay, I can't take that. Where it's just too, and it's not even visually gross. It's conceptually horrifying.
The implication of what's happening is genuinely skin crawling. Like I can see, like, you would go to the movie with your date and you'd all be having a great time, and that's where everything kind of like, I don't know how I feel after that one. It definitely leaves a weird taste in your mouth.
But I liked it. I felt like it was very, for a hardcore horror fan, decision to make. And I didn't think it was offensive at all. In fact, the movie goes out of its way to go,
this is why it's not offensive. Story-wise, it has earned that. It doesn't just feel like some weird, gross-out thing he jams in the middle to kind of shove it, you know, kind of shove it in your face. It is, the movie's point and why things are happening is built to that. It's both character, it's both story, but what it is you just should be prepared if you take your date, could get a little weird.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get to have sex after this
movie. Might just be, you know, going home. Not. You know, chilling out, forgetting about the movie. Yeah, so.
Also, if you have things with any issues with dogs getting injured, there's a big, mean, nasty dog in this movie.
Yeah.
That, you know, I mean, it's one of those, even my buddy Brian Salisbury is always so horrified when dogs get hurt. He's like, yeah, but that dog was an asshole.
He's probably the least endearing dog I've seen in cinema in a while.
Maybe ever.
Yeah.
Except
Cujo. He's not sympathetic at all.
No.
Usually the dogs, they do something cute or you understand why they're attacking. This dog's like, he's kind of a dick.
Now, I would like to address something that I know some of my buddies at Double Toasted who saw this, said about this that really bugged them, that I completely disagree with.
Oh, I'm interested.
And that is, they made the argument that this is another one of those movies where they use the tired old trope with, instead of just making sure the villain is down, of like, you know, wandering off, and then of course the villain comes back. My argument is, like, these guys are kids who have no interest in brutally murdering anyone, and under the circumstances seemed pretty clear the guy was in fact not going anywhere. I was like, it seemed like they were even hyper cautious about trying to get him.
I will admit, I'm probably closer to them on this. Did notice. That is a big thing with me always, is why don't you just bash this person's skull in? I mean, that's what you would do in real life. I would just...
But that's the context, once again. You're talking about two kids who are, like, the nice kids of the three. If the other dude had still been alive, sure, I could have seen him doing it. But I just couldn't buy these kids doing it.
Let's just take this moment to say that in our lives, if we're ever in this scenario...
Totally bash the dude's
head. And you knock down the killer and I'm incapacitated, please, don't check on me first. Destroy that person thoroughly.
I will. I know.
I just want to make sure we have that understanding.
I'm not as nice as Jane Levy.
It's an interesting point. I think that I did find the movie to not, like, as you mentioned, 10 Cloverfield Lane and Green Room, I enjoy those movies slightly more than this one. I found this to be fun, and I found it to be pretty exciting, and certainly I really enjoyed the visuals, the direction, the editing. I thought all that stuff was really great. It rung all my bells. I don't think I was as in suspense or is wrapped up, because I know, like, in Green Room I was twisting in my seat, like I could barely look at the screen. And the same with 10 Cloverfield Lane, which I don't think was as edge of your seat, but it was really more suspenseful and kind of fun because you didn't know for sure what was real, what wasn't. This one I thought was more like a ride, so I liked it a lot, but I can see that maybe when you get to that point you're just not into the movie enough to let that go. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you, because I feel like sometimes you let plot holes or whatever, stuff like that, or stuff that isn't necessarily motivated, go because you're out there. And with this one, I did notice that a little bit. I was like, oh, like, make sure they're toast, you know?
I mean, that's a horror element. It's just when I'm watching it, I assumed that was it. They were getting away, actually, because we had already been through so much and it had plateaued so high that I was kind of like, okay. Like, and we'd even already seen the scene the movie started with.
I think the other thing is they don't dwell on it for very long. So, you know, the movie doesn't doesn't feel like, you know, this big thing where they really should have made sure he's dead, and then this person comes back.
They didn't really set it up like, oh, what a relief.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, so I didn't really look at it as being that trope. And for these characters, I don't believe they would have sat there
okay
and bashed his head in. I don't believe you could take they would do that.
Yeah.
You know, it would have to be a matter of like, okay, the dude is like raising his arm to put a gun in your face.
It's not as bad as something like Wolf Creek, where I think she hits him like once with a little rifle.
Yeah, and
he's down.
Certainly
it's good.
Lots of movies where you're like, come on, man.
overall, I think the movie was so successful what it's trying to do that I did notice it. I took note of it, but I don't think it derailed the movie in any way. And stuff like that usually does derail a movie for me, because I think the rest of the movie is so much fun, and the scenarios they come up with are, you know, the gags in this movie, the sequences are pretty nifty.
And go ahead and go into your final thoughts.
I thought this was a really solid, good time at the movies. I would recommend to pretty much anybody who likes 10 Cloverfield Lane or Green Room, as I said, any kind of... And I think... Is this a horror movie? Do we say this is a horror movie? It's more like a suspense.
It's more of a suspense, but it definitely has some hardcore horror elements.
It feels like a horror movie.
The third act has some.
I think
big
the bad guy
stuff.
Does have that sort of unstoppable Michael Myers kind of
in his way.
Yeah. Overall, I would say, this is a pretty good time of the movies, and one that I think is probably more fun with an audience as well. It's worth getting out of the house, going to the movie theater. Being sucked into it. So I really saw a movie, probably not the greatest movie I've seen, but one of the better movies I've seen this year. Fede Alvarez?
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely a talent to watch. I look forward to his next movie. Check it out. Be prepared if you take a date.
Yeah.
Probably for some people who are easily offended, this movie goes to a few uncomfortable and a little bit upsetting places. So just that word of warning.
What was your rating?
Oh, my rating. Oh, I give this,
That's funny he forgot because he spent the, like, 30 seconds when he started. Hold on,
I gotta think
of my rating.
I think this is a really solid movie. Do we give halves here, or do we...
Sure, whatever. Okay, I mean, it's arbitrary. You could say, like, I give this 17 out of 20.
I give this 7.5 turkey basters. So you'll know what that means after you see the movie. Listen to the review after the movie.
I think we largely agree on this. I think I was maybe a little more like frozen in my seat than you were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this genuinely scared me during points of it.
I was
into it just as much as I was into Green Room. And I think whereas 10 Cloverfield Lane specifically is probably the best written of the three films, I think this might actually be the best directed of the three films. Fede Alvarez's style of achieving really not just claustrophobia, which all three movies do very well, but like of the scares, doing it so effectively that aren't just cheap jump scares, of making it come out of where you don't expect them to.
Yeah, there's one in particular.
So well done. Time after time where I'm like, this guy is a solid horror director. He really gets camera placement and how to make scares work.
Yeah, I'm very jealous.
Really enjoyed this thing. I'm also turning into a big fan of Jane Levy, who I think is great.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Wasn't she in a TV show as well? Am I not mistaken? I mean, she was in some really popular... I never can say this. Suburgatory.
Yeah, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Well, that's where we're going with.
Yeah, that was, and she's on Shameless, too, which I've never seen.
For some reason,
is on, like, its seventh season. No one I know has ever watched
it. This is one of those shows everybody, Showtime forgot was on.
I've talked to one person who's seen it. It's like, oh, God, Shameless is amazing. You've never seen it? I'm like, as far as I can tell, they never even advertised that fucking show.
It feels like everyone I know has watched that show, and no one I know watches that show.
Yeah.
No one
I know watches that show. But I give this 8 out of 10 Milky Eyes in the Dark. That's going to stick with me, I'm afraid.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
I mean, like, next time I see a blind person, I'm just going to start screaming.
Oh, no.
No, I probably shouldn't do that. That might be inappropriate.
Yeah, that's probably not the best plan.